My name is Uquillipton, and it translates to man who possesses many masks. My other native name is Letzlotzlotten, man who possesses many colors. Then my other name is Lawrence Paul, which is a government name, which I don't really understand what it means. It's just something that the government had forced upon Native people to have white names that mean nothing.
So we wanted to talk to you about your works that are in the exhibition at the Belkin, the Town and Country exhibition. And you have two works, two literature paintings.
Yeah.
You are on Indian land and apartheid Canada. And can you tell us a little bit about the literature painting series and how you want to talk about those particular works?
I designed literature pieces in about 1984, and I did a couple then, and I've come back to it because of how I would lecture or talk about colonialism. And natives have to come to the terms of British Columbia, and this is a part of the British Empire. This is a colony, and natives never joined the Confederation of Canada. They were annexed. There is no salvation in capitalism or in this country. Environment Canada is a joke. It has no preservation. It has no purpose other than to, tail end mines where they spill and then, so they really don't do anything when it comes to contaminating the biosphere. And there's so many toxic sites. So I look at, you're on Indian land and you're just fucking everything. So it's, to me, that's kind of par for the colonialists.
And so the political structure of like land ownership, this idea of property, you are on Indian land, and then apartheid Canada giving that to...
Canadians deny apartheid. They kind of were embarrassed when South Africa came to visit Department of Affairs to look at how their apartheid system was working. Why stand on a world stage and claim democracy when you're actually in an apartheid system? And when I say it is apartheid system, you only have to look at the Indian Act of Canada, which is a White Supremacy Act of Canada, which is a glorification of the British Empire. And they don't believe that natives have any rights in this country. We don't sit on the United Nations. We don't have it sit at the table. We don't sit in Ottawa. We don't govern over any of our lands. We have small, little, tiny fucking colonial concentration camps that are permanent. So let's cut the bullshit. A couple of years ago, there was two Native women that went missing. And the guy went to court, found him guilty. But the premier of the province refused to look for the bodies in the garbage dump. What does that say about Canadians? That it's open season, that we'll look the other way. If you murder Native women, it's okay, because we're not going to look for them, because they're Indian women. You know, these kind of things that are kind of normalized, that we normally treat Natives this way. This is what truth and reconciliation is really like. That's just a couple of years ago. Let's not say that this is something in the past. This is right now. This is how Canadians treat us. This is how we are looked at. This is how we are despised. That they don't believe in Aboriginal rights. They signed the Geneva Convention. They don't want to live up to that convention. We went to World War II with all the other people. What did they get when they came back? They didn't have the right to vote. They had to be sent back onto the reservations. They were not allowed to leave reservations. They had to have a pass to leave a reservation. It was against the law under the Indian Act to have a General Assembly. It was against the law for Natives to have a lawyer. Let's talk about this history of what it really is like. You know, in terms of the history books, I find the history books in literature in school curriculums is really a bunch of fucking bullshit.
I'm just curious if you could say something about like the billboard format, the kind of strength of the text.
I think the text is quite clear in terms of traditional Northwest Coast colors. And that's basically what I was using to the format of that painting. And the reasons why I put it that way was because of how we see this country. I think that painting kind of justifies where we are in this country. How do you paint colonizational stress disorder syndrome? Define a reservation in this country. They are concentration camps. They are a segregated concept from the very beginning and the foundations of this country. Make treaties, separate. This is segregation. This is permanent segregation that we've had from day one. I'm more interested in emancipating. I want freedom. And we have comprehensive land claims, which is outstanding business. Comprehensive land claims is that natives in this province have to surrender their inherent rights forever to this province of British Columbia. And then you have comprehensive land claims, outstanding business, which is, listen, you Indians, we made these reservations for you and you're supposed to stay on them, but I think that we made them too big. So we're going to cut your land in half and we're going to make your reservation smaller. I have a painting which is behind me, which is savage, the word savage. And so it, identity, how we're identified. Today I'm an Indian, tomorrow I'm a native. The next day after that, I'm a savage. The day after that, I'm going to be a First Nations. Maybe on a Sunday, I'm going to be a red man. Yeah. We are under the Indian Act. Yes, and I have to determine what those are, what is our identity politics of that notion. So it's a communication, and I like the literature. I went to residential school. And I learned what reading and writing was, and letters and numbers. And then I went to, then they changed the law that I had to go to a public school because I, in 1960, we were allowed to live off reservations for the first time. And so my dad had one of his friends buy the land, and then he paid his friend $1 for the land. He gave his friend the money for the land. And the guy went and bought the property, and then my dad paid him and then gave him $1 for the services, and he got land off reserve. And so after that, since I was living off reserve, I had to go to a public school because the law required me to go to the nearest school. So at the same time, a few days later, I was sitting at a residential school. The next day, I was going to a public school.
Entirely tied to property.
Yes, it is. It is about land. Yeah. It is about about a transfer of a person living off reserve. And so I was, and so I had to go to. So I was forced to go to public school. Not that I wanted to go, but that was when you're 6, 7 years old, going to a public school that was, my friend, or my neighbor, Lori Gall, he was jumping up and down going, you get to go to the same school. He was more happy than I was, because when I was going to a segregated residential school, and then I was going to this segregated white school. There's a difference between residential school and public school. The difference is that in residential school, there's graveyards. And when I went around the school and I came home and I told my dad, I said, yeah, it was a great day. And I said, well, how come there isn't any graveyards at public school? And that's the difference. He said, son, you know, it's not going to be like that. They don't do that there. And so then I figured out that they only do it to Indians. And I know where those graveyards were. They were right in front of the building, right beside the swimming pool. And so those were the ones that they acknowledged, but not the ones that were in the shallow graves. They had two graveyards, one for the public one, and the other ones were all shallow graves that were not recognized. So they were scattered all over the place. Some of the communities just burnt their schools down after a certain point. They just said they were shut down and they just burnt them down. You know, I'm a graduate of honors from the Emily Carr. I think the great thing about the Emily Carr was that I was able to meet other artists. But the most important thing was that I was able to take my culture and translate it into the European culture, which was not really something that natives would normally do. They would normally become a carver. I found that there was more interesting things in history to deal with. There was a lot of Native organizations, the Union of BC and Chiefs, the United Nations, and these places have their own titles, literature, addresses, phone numbers, and it's words. And, you know, they have lawyers. You know, we have royal commissions. You know, these are documents.